I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. It is Freedom to Read Week in Canada, and this year marks the 25th anniversary of this national commemoration. It's organized by the Freedom of Expression Committee of the Book and Periodical Council of Canada, and it reminds us of the need to be vigilant when it comes to protecting freedom of expression. Censorship is something that is encountered regularly, and throughout this week, throughout the country, there will be events such as discussions and debates, as well as displays of material that has been banned or challenged in Canada. Recently, there were complaints filed to the Canadian Human Rights Commission, the Ontario Human Rights Commission, and the BC Human Rights Tribunal over Maclean's magazine's excerpting of a book by the columnist Mark Stein. The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood was reviewed by the Toronto Public School Board after one parent complained about the novel. Formed in 1978, the committee has opposed the censorship of books by Margaret Lawrence, John Steinbeck, and J.D. Salinger. Joining me now is the author Janine Fuller. She is the manager of the Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium here in Vancouver, and she has been at the fore of the fight over freedom of expression. You might remember there are many challenges against Canada Customs over material that they've banned, saying it was obscene. She's managed Little Sisters since 1990, and she's been recognized by sundry organizations for her work. Freedomtoread.ca is the website. For more information, please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Janine Fuller. Good morning, Ms. Fuller.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm a little older than the shop itself. I think I was born in 82, so the shop, what, opened in 83, is that right?
You got it, yeah.
Yeah, I vaguely remember the controversy surrounding the store and the trouble with customs. When did it all begin?
Well, the bookstore opened in 1983, and really in the early times there really was no real problems with Canada Customs, but it wasn't until the bookstore started to get a little bit more known with Canada Customs, and then they started realizing that it was in fact a queer bookstore, and that in 1985, I think, is probably when they had the most sort of significant seizure, and that was just before Christmas, and it was essentially almost putting the bookstore out of business because they seized almost the entire Christmas shipment. So that was when Pat Carney was in, so that tells you how long ago that was. But probably the first case that took place was over the Advocate magazine. Do you know what The Advocate is?
Yeah, it's an American magazine, isn't it?
Yeah, I sort of call it the Gay and Lesbian People magazine. It always has sort of a very well-known person on the cover. And, you know, it's really a news magazine. It's not unlike Maclean's, really. But at that time, it was a really important magazine because it was giving a lot of the most up-to-date information on AIDS, and there were huge generations of people who died of AIDS because of not being able to get that information. So Canada Customs seized The Advocate, and we decided to go to court, and we waited. And 2 weeks prior to our court case, the judge ruled that they should return all the magazines because Canada Customs had reconsidered their decision to seize them. This is a year and a half after the magazines had been seized, so they're not really very, you're not going to really be able to sell them, even if you get them back. But they were ordered to return it, and they couldn't because they'd incinerated every single copy. And I think it was that point that the owners of the bookstore went, you know, we can't be complacent about the struggles around these issues, and we have to be able to take Canada Customs to court and really make them accountable for the kinds of seizures that have been occurring for decades to our community. So that was sort of the first taste of Canada Customs, and then we just had seizure after seizure for many, many years. And then finally we decided with BC Civil Liberties to actually take Customs to court over their actions.
And how did that work out?
Well, again, it started in 1990, and I was quite a bit younger then. And it took a long time to get to court. It wasn't until 1994 that the first case actually went to court. So that was 4 years, several delays. And through the delays, many of the people who were testifying had HIV or AIDS, and many of them died and never really got to give their testimony. But in 1994, it went to the Supreme Court of BC, and it was an amazing list of people who came out to speak out on behalf of censorship in the bookstore, and specifically on these writers, many of whom wouldn't be, you know, mainstream writers that people would know, but people like Nino Ricci, Pierre Burton, Pat Califia, as well as Jane Rule, just to name a few, came and testified. And everyone testified for free. They all gave their time for free because they felt that the issues in the case was so important and really monumental in regards to the Canadian courts.
There were other things besides the advocate that they had a problem with. There were books, or were there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of the books you just wouldn't even recognize the titles because you know...
We never heard of them.
Yeah, you never get to see them, which is sort of the insidious element of Canada Customs in that nobody ever sees them on the shelf because they never get to exist within that. But certainly we had books by Jane Rule, Seize the Young in One Another's Arms, other people, Dorothy Allison's book, Trash, Susie Bright, Dennis Cooper, who's now considered to be really one of the cutting-edge authors, had some of his books, Frisk, Seized, which was also made into a major motion picture. Diane DeMassa, comic book artist, had her book, Seized, Hothead Paisan. Kiss and Tell, who were actually a local group, had a magazine that had an article about an art exhibition that they did in L.A., and that magazine was seized coming in to Vancouver, even though they're Canadian artists who were paid by Canada Council to do this project. There was like a touring show about drawing the line, and how do you draw the line around censorship is what the actual show was about. So it had many different images, and it really asked people to give their comfort level on how they responded to some images and others were more problematic for them. So it was a really neat show, but that's just a sort of small sort of cross-section of different people. So everyone from comic book sort of artists to quite well-known authors. Canada was the only country that almost really considered whether it would restrict satanic verses coming into Canada. And while that was going on, many other more sort of mainstream books, like Madonna's book, Sex, which do you remember that one?
I'm a little too young to have read that, actually. Yeah.
You probably couldn't get it in the library.
No,
because there's
no.
Such a huge hold for it, but it really is just all photographs that Madonna did on sex and very, very explicit and really wouldn't have met any of the guidelines in regards to Canada Customs, but because it was such a huge, huge amount of money and Time Warner was behind it, they just sent like something like 22 messages to the Privy Council when it was in being viewed at Canada Customs as it arrived by armed guard because nobody had seen the contents of it. So that's just like a small smattering of some of the censorship that's happened over the years.
Now, you've managed the store since 1990. I'm curious, as an independent bookseller in this city, how have you fared against the chains in recent years?
You know, it's certainly not easy. I think we've always been really lucky in that the store has always kind of evolved and evolved with the times and what people's wants and needs are. So I think the store has changed in many ways. There's a sex section that's always been part of the store, lubricant, condoms, toys, that kind of stuff, but that's just gotten bigger and bigger, and we've got like a section of books that are a little bit more really sort of how-to sex books, and not just sort of queer, but also for straight people, and there's a lot of straight people who come to the bookstore, so that's really changed the demographics of who actually comes into the store, but I think we've been lucky, but it's certainly troubling times, and certainly even more so with the economy and what's happening right now. I think, you know, you do struggle. People are definitely out there struggling and kind of just trying to make it through. But
Who's Derek Finkel?
You know, I don't really know Derek Finkel.
Now, he's the 08 recipient of the Freedom to Read Award. You won that award too, right?
Yes, the bookstore did.
You received the award, yeah. Now, on Wednesday, you'll be speaking at an event in Toronto with him. Is that correct?
You know, I think there's a bunch of different people that are on the panel.
Yeah. Now, what is exactly, what's the panel if people are in Toronto listening to us?
I think I think it's going to be a really interesting group of people talking about the issues of censorship, me from the sort of the bookstore element of things and the court case, as well as, you know, them talking about it from a librarian, people who are working within the confines of a harder system as far as bringing books. And so I think it'll be really, really good. And I think there's also going to be people playing in a band that are supposed to be great. And I think it's 25 years of celebrating something that has just been so important for this country to really recognize that we cannot be, we need to really understand the importance of standing up for free speech, and we have to understand that, yes, we get this 1 week a year where we speak out and understand and support all these different events, but we have to speak out and continue every day, and we really have to be committed every day to making sure that we don't find ourselves not allowing people the expressions that we expect to have ourselves.
Now, there is an event in Vancouver on Thursday the 26th.
Yes.
At Robson Square, right?
That's UBC.
Yeah, Yeah, and if people want more information on that, they can go to freedomtoread.ca.
They've got a great website, and you just click on, and you can download tons of different things and posters and, you know, hold your own event this week, because really it's about raising awareness, getting people out, and remembering, you know, the important people who have gone before us. The person who's winning the Freedom to Read Award this year is Nancy Fleming, and she was part of the Book and Periodical Council and was one of the founders of Freedom to Read. And she died last year about this time, a year ago. And she was just an unbelievable advocate and spokesperson for free speech. And I think it'll be an incredible honor to be even part of that event.
Now, we both live in Vancouver, Janine. The reality of the country is that we have a variety of cultures and religion. And don't you think that in these times that there's a greater chance perhaps to offend someone or some group?
You know, people always have the opportunity not to read it, not to buy it. You know, that's why we have our bookstore. You know, if you don't want to come into it, you don't have to come into the bookstore. But I think people need to have... We need to balance out people's rights, and we need to be really committed to free speech.
Now, does it seem to me that does it seem to you that there's more censorship now than before? I mean, that's a pretty general statement, but do you find that?
You know, I think it's always there, especially with comics. That's one of the most censored things that comes through Canada Customs. But I think just the fact that we're having this interview and just the whole medium and the changes to how people get the message out, it's phenomenally quick, and you have so many different people who are out there with their blogs, with their all their different technologies and getting those messages out. So I think that that really makes a difference. I mean, I think the censorship has always been here, and we have just a really long history of it. In the early days, censorship was really more around birth control. That was one of the first major censorship things. And Peyton Place was one of the first books that was seized by Canada Customs.
It just seems to me, considering the Mark Steyn situation, that would not have happened pre-September 11th, that we live in such heightened politically correct times. Is that your sense as well?
I think we do, but I think hopefully we're changing, we're evolving. Perhaps the election of Barack Obama going to start to make people feel a little more comforted and hope and feel that they have more hope out there.
Do you believe that there should be no censorship at all? I mean, does the committee believe that? I mean, I guess we all agree that there is some necessity for it, but the question is when and where, and more importantly, who decides?
Well, you know, it's a really limited group of people who decide at Canada Customs. It's a very small group of people who are in Ontario, in Ottawa, at the head, sort of processing all of those things. And I think that's kind of frightening to think of such a small group of people having such a profound effect on people's free speech. Certainly the bookstore has never carried any kiddie porn. That's something that we have never brought in and never supported. So, you know, that's certainly the line of the people who own the bookstore, and that's something that they've always been very outspoken on. So other bookstores, gay bookstores, may not follow that same message, but that's certainly the 25 years that the bookstore has spoken on those issues.
I mean, journalists certainly feel censorship, and they feel the need for freedom of expression more and more. So do authors. Do you think that we're seeing a lot of school boards sort of acting on the complaints and concerns of parents unnecessarily, perhaps?
You know, I think, you know, we can look at Belinda's Bouquet and Heather Has Two Mummies, books that were not allowed into the Surrey School Board.
Mm-hmm.
And that case took place a couple of years ago, and eventually it was allowed to go into the libraries. You know, those are just children's books, and Belinda's Bouquet is actually a book about a woman, a young girl who's fat, and it really is about her. She happens to have two mothers at the very end of the book, but the message is really just about accepting who you are and what your body is as a kid. So, you know, I think it's interesting also that there's also a chilling effect that happens around people's ability to be creative, to produce work, that is just impacts writers and artists all across this country and all over the world when they start hearing around censorship, they start self-censoring. And I think there's also the fact that you've got these really large big box stores like Chapters and Indigo, and you know, a lot of the publishers who are going to write stuff and put them out to Canadians, they're going to there to decide what books are going to be published. Sometimes they go and they show them the catalog. If they're not interested in a title, they may never actually produce that title. So it's like a scary thought to think that one bookstore is having that kind of impact on what gets published and what doesn't get published. And it really makes it so important that we support our small publishers, because they really are on the front lines of taking the chances and challenging us as readers, which I think is always really important.
So besides supporting independent bookstores, what should the ordinary reader do?
You know, I think just before, you know, when you read that something's been seized, you know, don't just assume just because it's been seized that it's pornographic. That, you know, when you look at something like Jane Rule's books, you know, she won the Order of Canada last year, and one of her books was seized, The Young in One Another's Arms. And, you know, she feels like the reputation she got as a writer from being banned by Canada Customs impacted her for the rest of her life around who she was and who her community was. And she was quite devastated by the impact of what that was. And I think people have to understand all sides of what something seized means.
Janine, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about this important subject. Congratulations on your remarkable work and continued good luck.
You know what? Thank you very much, and it's so great and refreshing to have so many different programs out there that are doing such great justice to these issues.
The website for more is freedomtoread.ca. The manager of the Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium here in Vancouver, Janine Fuller, on the line. I'm Joseph Plante.